And welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a daily podcast coming to you from Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, Maryland. We want to welcome you and thank you for being a part of our podcast today. I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis with Greater Grace Church, and with me is Pastor Rinaldo Brown. And this week we're talking about the gospel. Maybe we're trying to define something that's really hard to define because it's so sweeping and so awesome in what it does for us. But we're talking about, in particular, a verse from Paul at the beginning of Romans, maybe one of the greatest essays in the history of human history is the book of Romans, because it really does set up everyone. Everyone can read this epistle, this letter, and see, if they're reading it honestly and with an open heart, they will see their need for the salvation that is only found in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And this is what we're talking about, that specific power of God unto salvation. And Paul is like very clear. He has been an opponent of the gospel message and the gospel movement. And then he has had a significant encounter with Jesus shining on him from heaven. And now he cannot turn back. He cannot turn himself back to being what he was before. Mm-hmm. And he says in this verse that I am not ashamed of the gospel. Mm. And I think that's the thing, like the gospel has such power, but we are in an age when we try to take the gospel and like form it into something like, you know, like a sugar pill. And it's not a sugar pill. The gospel involves the cross. The gospel involves us recognizing our sinfulness and our need for repentance. The gospel requires us looking to Christ and not to ourselves, mm-hmm. not trying to make ourselves into something acceptable unto God, but receiving what the blood of Christ did purchase for us, mm-hmm. a salvation. So that power we cannot deny. Mm-hmm. And we are not ashamed of the gospel. We are not trying to make it something it is not. Mm-hmm. It points a finger, like Paul does in the book of Romans. He's talking about, by the time you get to the end of chapter 3, he's saying that no one can make an excuse.
Right.
No one can make an excuse when they stand before God, I lived this way because, mm-hmm. well, you know, here's the gospel. Mm-hmm. And if you had just received the power of the gospel for your life, and things would have been different.
Yeah, I think Paul kind of says, he kind of comes right up front and says, okay, this is what you need for life.
Yeah.
And then he continues to explain why you need it. What was the problem? And in chapters 2 and in chapters 3, he does that. I think also, too, you're right, there is an assault on our understanding of the gospel. A lot of folks know the gospel in terms of the means by which or the message by which someone can have a personal relationship with God. It's event oriented. Mm-hmm. It's not relational. It's event oriented. Like this, I did this. And then for most Christians, when they get saved, after they're saved, they're done with the word. Mm-hmm. It doesn't describe their ongoing relationship with God. It doesn't describe their future benefit that comes because of the gospel. Like it's an ultimate salvation. It's an eternal salvation. It's a life living at salvation. I'm living out my gospel is not just sharing my faith, but living out my gospel is living out that relationship. And I think that's under attack. That's not being emphasized as much. Number two, I'd also say, Pastor Steve, that there's a lot of attack on the power of the gospel, what it did do and what it didn't do. Mm. They can chop up the atonement that way. Mm. They can attack what the power of the gospel did for a certain group of people, what things it dealt with, what things it didn't deal with. And it's really a misunderstood term. It's become like a general term.
Yeah.
They've really, really vanillaed it out. They're very familiar with it. The average Christian, when they hear the gospel, they think about John 3:16, which it is.
It is. Yeah.
But they don't, it's like, okay, oh yeah, I did that back then. Mm-hmm. And then they're done with the word. The word gospel doesn't become part of their conversation. Never mind their thinking, never mind their life set. So when you start talking about the gospel, I think about it this way. So much is done about what we're saved to. And I like the way Paul has front loaded Romans with what we're saved from. Because he wants you to understand the need for the gospel. Many folks don't get saved or become a Christian because they don't see a verifiable or relative need to be a Christian. Why do I need to get saved? Why do I need the gospel in my life? Mm-hmm. Some churches try to force the unbeliever to admit that they need the gospel, but I don't think you have to force the person to admit they need the gospel. You have to show them that there is a need for the gospel, yeah. Which is what Paul does.
Yeah. Yeah. We tend to think like, you know, we say gospel is, you know, equals good news. Yes. And like, you know, I like what you said. It's like we try to vanilla it. It's like, you know, it's good news, but it's good news in one sense, but it's not really good news for the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, or my pride of life. It's like actually those things should be withering under the message. You know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. As you hear more of the word of God, you may find yourself seeing more and more flaws, more and more things that are out of order with you. And it does seem to be that case as we grow in maturity. Mm-hmm. When we were young and 30, and, you know,
a few years ago,
we knew a lot, but not enough. And then we experienced some things and we went through a process of humiliation in the, bringing in of humility. I'm not using humiliation, not that you're standing in front of a crowd and everyone's staring at you. That happened to Jesus. He had total humiliation. And, that's a thing. We're talking about the shame, you know, Jesus, that verse about Jesus saying that the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and he despised the shame of what he was, you know. I think like it wasn't just an attitude in him. He separated himself. He separated himself from the shame of what the cross was did humanly speaking. Because being lifted up high, naked on a tree like that, exposed before everything, taunted, all of that. But he knew what that was going to accomplish. There was a thing that he understood that was, even though he didn't feel it as a human being at that time, because we hear him. We hear him being very human in the Garden of Gethsemane and hear him being very human on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Father, if it be your will, can this cup pass me by? You know, he didn't embrace the pain, but he embraced the cross. He embraced the cross because he knew what it was going to do on the other side once the work was finished. Mm-hmm. But but the shame of it, he realized that he was trying to separate us all from living in that kind of shame. We don't have to live in that shame before him. Mm-hmm. You know, to live in shame before the world is one thing, but to live in shame before him is the ultimate price. We don't want to have to, you know, because we are robed with what he has given us as his righteousness for our salvation, then we don't have to be ashamed. We can despise the shame. You can't make me feel that way because I'm covered with who Christ is.
Mm-hmm. And I think when you understand what the gospel is, then you understand how to walk in its power. I think a lot of times people see the gospel is the power of the gospel is to have life. Right? 1 John 5:12, he that has the Son has life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. I have come to give you life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, to have the very Zoe life of God, the very life of God, the power of the gospel has the ability to take me out of my bios life and put me in, give me the very life of God. But the other side of the power of the gospel that doesn't get talked about a lot, which is what you're talking about, is how to live. The power of the gospel is not just the power to have life, but the power to live. And that's where the potential for shame comes in. The potential to be ashamed is because there's a challenge that comes from the cross and a challenge that comes from God in God's life that you live a certain way. And that challenge is met by the power of the gospel through the Holy Spirit to live God's life, God's mm-hmm. way, the power to live. And that's the dunamis power right there. That is talking about, that is the inherent power. I know you think of the word, dunamis, and you think dynamite, you think explosive, but that was not the writer's intention, because dynamite was created several hundreds of years later than this usage. So no, it's not speaking about explosive as in destructive, but it's speaking as an inherited, manifested, in our case, imparted power. That this life that we have received because of the gospel, the power of the gospel is the very life of God in a believer, not just receiving the gospel, but actually living it. So when we say, I'm going to live my gospel, live out my gospel, I'm living the life of God. I'm not living to get saved again, but I don't just want to receive life from God. I want to live God's life. And it's the power of God unto salvation, which is not just saving, but in keeping and benefiting and preserving and living. That's the power of the gospel. But I've got to change the paradigm in my thinking that, okay, I got salvation. God had the power to save me. Under them who believe, gave he the power to be made the sons and daughters of God in John 1:12. Okay, I got the power. What was that power? Gave he the power. What was that power of the gospel? What is empowered in the gospel is the operation of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. And that doesn't stop at salvation. That continues into sanctification. Mm-hmm. So the power of the gospel to save is also the power of the gospel to live.
That's what we're talking about, the beginning and the progression. Mm-hmm. You know, like, do you stay where you are? You know, we have a couple of things to think about here. It's mm-hmm. the power of God for salvation to everyone who mm-hmm. believes. That's a big thing.
Yes.
That you know, all who call upon the name of Christ Jesus, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is like preached in Acts and also was preached in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. Everyone who believes. And, you know, we can't really break verse 17 off of verse 16, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. The righteous shall live by faith. Mm-hmm. It's like that's the power of God. The power of the gospel is to, I think you could say, is to ignite faith, mm-hmm. you know. It's not, and that is an explosive reality in a human heart. You mm-hmm. know, I know dunamis, if the power to ignite faith in us, and then, like you said, to move from that faith mm-hmm. to the next faith, mm-hmm. to the next faith. And, the gospel is always there. It comes back to that, element of salvation, that element of believing, that element of he first loved us and mm. now I can love him. And, you know, the Bible is not a book of like showing us like, a stairway to heaven. It's mm-hmm. not showing us like, if you do all of this, you're going to attain a certain thing. That's the message of the gospel. The power of the gospel unto salvation is that just that word, like you said, just that word of John 3:16 is enough to ignite a faith mm-hmm. that brings repentance, that mm-hmm. works repentance in a heart and brings people to start to live by faith to faith.
Mm. Do you think that, so we could say the power of the gospel is progressive in a person's life?
Yeah, for the person who believes, it's the mm-hmm. power unto salvation first, right. mm-hmm. but then we know that salvation, you know, brings us into a process of sanctification.
Right.
We were this, but now mm-hmm. we are this, and like we are becoming more and more like him.
Sure.
As we are guided by the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. operation in us, correct?
Yeah, that's the key. You're right. I mean, you got to be careful that you don't turn the work of God and at the cross into a progressive thing, because then you have a work salvation.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's why
you're not trying to measure up.
Yeah, that's why I asked that question very clearly. Yeah. Like, okay, there is an event that happens. It's once and for all. That's salvation.
Yeah.
But there's an ongoing power that's evident in a person's life. Paul is saying two things. He's saying, number one, it's the power to take you from where you were to where God would want you to be. And then mm. it's the power to keep you there and lead you into a life of salvation, of deliverance, which is kind of brought out in 1 Corinthians 1:10 that we have been delivered, we are being delivered, we will be delivered. It also talks about the progressive manifestation in 1 John 3:1-2 of the salvation that we have that's being also being made manifest in a personal, expressive way through time, culminating with us before God in an ultimate salvation. But we are saved. We are definitely saved. That's not lost. That's a present and that's a future reality because of the power of the gospel. And really, when you think about the power, the word there for power, it's addressing the miraculous work in an individual's life, that God can take a person that's destined for hell, a person who's hopelessly sinning, and because of the work of the cross and the life of the Son on the work of the cross, because of that, when we by faith receive that, receive salvation, receive the free gift of salvation, Ephesians 2:8-9, there's a work in John 1:12 because of the Holy Spirit that happens in our life. In Titus 3:3-4, where we are being regenerated, there's a spiritual regeneration. In 1 Peter 1:22-23, we're being born again. We're being made a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, God is working in someone's life. God is working that person's life. And what he's saying here, he's saying that I'm not ashamed of what the gospel, because I know what it can do. It's one of those kind of things. I'm not ashamed of it because I know what it can do. I know what it's done for me on that road to Damascus. I know what it's done in the life of people, Romans, and I know what it can do for you. It is the power of God. He says it very clearly, unto salvation. It's not just manifested power. Remember, he's speaking to Romans. They have already in their culture seen supernatural things that ascribe them to God, lightning, thunder, earthquakes. They've assimilated that to God's act, to different gods' activity. But none of the activity of those gods ever changed their heart. But Paul is saying the power of this God has the ability to deliver you and do things for you that the other God's power, things you ascribe to, could not do, which is salvation, which is deliver you from who you are. And then he goes on in chapters 2 and 3 and shows you what you've been delivered from. And there can be a shame with that because you realize that I, in Romans 5, I was ungodly. In Romans 5, I was a sinner. In Romans 5, I was an enemy of God. And there could be a shame to that. But Paul says, you don't have to be ashamed of that work in our life because of the power of the gospel working in our lives.
Let's take it to another letter of Paul, you know, in 2 Timothy. We are not given a spirit of fear. Mm-hmm. The power of the gospel does not put in us a spirit of trepidation, I would say. I'm using that word because I'm thinking like, when I think of fear of God, I'm thinking of honor, reverence, awe. When I'm thinking about trepidation, I'm thinking of like, I could fall on my face at any time, I understand that, but I'm afraid of like, I'm afraid, you know, there's a fearfulness and that spirit is not us. But then Paul uses that word, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Mm-hmm. Talk about that. How do we have the power unto salvation. What's next? Mm. The legacy of love, you know, living in the love of God, as 1 Corinthians 13 defines it for us, thinking no evil, not coveting, those kind of things. And then sound mindedness. I'm thinking like a person with a sound mind, understand what happened at the beginning, and also understands that present continuing result.
Yes.
That is bringing me, you know, that is making me and developing me into more and more Christ-likeness.
Yes, and that's really what Paul is saying when he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. He's not just saying, I am not ashamed that I've been made a Christian. He's saying, I am not ashamed to be a Christian.
Yeah.
He's saying, I am not ashamed of the work of God in my life, and I am not ashamed of living the life of God in my life. Because, frankly, Paul's life was a life that another Christian, someone would be ashamed of. You could talk about all the things he went through. He says, I think it's 1 Corinthians 1:23. The same two groups of names he uses in Romans 1:16, he uses in 1 Corinthians 1:23 to the Jew and to the Greek. And he says, to the Jew, I'm a stumbling block. And the word for stumbling block is scandal. That his methodology, we get our English word scandal, his methodology of the power of the gospel was scandalous. It was morally repugnant. The Jews rejected it because how could that possibly be? So it's a stumbling block. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of it, though to you Jews, it could be a stumbling block to the Jew first. Then he says Gentiles, and he says it could be foolishness in verse 23, which intellectually inferior. And isn't that what Paul kind of ran into on Mars Hill with all those great guys? They're like, is that what you got for me? Is that how deep you are, Paul? You're not the deepest well in the room. I mean, yeah, no, you're not quoting Cicero. You're not quoting any of the other special guy. You quoted a few, but not many. But most of your comments about this gospel, about the unknown God, this is intellectually weak. It's irrational. So for a season, they listened. But then most of them were like, you know what? I'm going to hear somebody else because this is not the deep things. Like, you know, some religions have the deep words,
the deep,
like, you know,
right.
sophistication, you know, like the special, you're not going to get this out of a book or go in a special reading room. Maybe you'll find some wisdom there. Mm-hmm. So these two groups, and by the way, for these two reasons, you could be ashamed of the gospel, the gospel life. You could be ashamed because it doesn't feel like morally to be strong enough. And I bet people say, well, if you're a Christian, how come you've done this and you've done this? So your Christianity is morally inferior, they would even say. And then those who are intellectuals will say, well, this is dumb. This is for dumb people, like weak people are Christians. So Paul is saying, I'm not ashamed of those accusations. I'm not ashamed of what happened to me, and I'm not ashamed of this life I have because of it. Both. It's a continual. I'm not ashamed of both.
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes in to describe that later on in the chapter. But like you said, I think there's this idea that there's an impartation of life that comes from the power of the gospel that goes beyond just the event of getting saved. Mm-hmm. And how do I continue with that? Colossians 2:6, as you received Christ by the power of the gospel, so walk ye in him. Continue by the power of the gospel. This same power in Romans 8:11 that raised Jesus from the dead, this same power enables you and I to be quickened and live the life of the gospel. Same power.
Same power. Same power. The same power that saved
us.
Yeah, the same power that saved us is the same power that keeps us and the same power that... you know, makes us, and I think, you know, we gotta hang on to that, like, you know, that idea of the power of God unto salvation. It's like, you know, how significant is our understanding of just that little phrase? It's like, because we are going to falter. We are going to be tripped up. We are going to fall on our face. If it happened to Peter, if it happened to one who was like so close and so near to Christ, seeing things that few other people saw and having encounters and counseling sessions with, you know, it happened to him so much so that he had to be corrected by Paul,
right?
A guy who opposed Jesus. So we know that just the power of God unto salvation, that power, like seeing the immensity of it, the completeness of it, you know, the totality of it is like the power of God unto salvation. There is nothing for me to add to that power. Mm-hmm. There's nothing I can juice it with, you know, to make it more powerful. It has done what it's supposed to do. It has saved me from the life that I was, that was apart from him. Yeah.
I like the way you said that it saved me from the life that was apart from him.
Yeah.
Which gives me shame to know that I had a life that was apart from God. And now it's delivered me unto a life that is connected to him. Right? An abundant life. That's what the abundant life is. But I really get this idea, Pastor Steve, that people have this power of God as an external word more than an internal word. So they don't make that connection unless we're talking about healing.
Yep.
But it's more of an external word.
Okay.
And say I'm listening to the program today and maybe I've heard the gospel, maybe I've read this verse and I'm listening to the program. What is the power of God unto salvation? What is that? Because if I can't practically wrap my brain around that, this sounds like high theology, something the pastor talks about at the end of the service. At the altar call, what is the power of God unto salvation? What is that for me, where I'm at? mm-hmm. and to everyone. I mean, for most of us, we have to think about it for ourselves before we think about it anybody else. So how, what does that mean? The power of God unto or towards or for salvation.
What does it mean? What do, I think, you know, to think about that phrase and to, I think recognizing just, when we hear that word, we hear power, we think of authority. Mm-hmm. We think of, you know, muscle, mm-hmm. you know, we know that, we think of, you know, might, that kind of thing. And this is, you know, where has God invested, this redeeming, restoring, reconciling element in human society. Mm-hmm. He's invested it in his word. Mm-hmm. It's like he's invested it in his word. And that is like the word of truth. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's another part of Romans 10:17. Mm-hmm. So we know that God has invested this saving message, this message as the power of salvation, as mm-hmm. the thing, because people are looking, like you've said a couple of times, people are looking for, they're looking for a way to gain this power. They're looking for a way to generate themselves and their own energy. And that's the status of all religion. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's, you knock on so many doors and tell so many people, try to sell so many magazines, mm-hmm. you know, or give, they used to give them away. Now they try to sell you subscriptions, knock, knock, knock. And then, you know, and then you pray in a certain direction mm-hmm. five times a day. It's like you are generating, mm-hmm. you are generating, but God is saying, I said this, mm-hmm. I said this, I did this. Mm-hmm. And now the message of that, the message of what I did is the power of salvation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You think what you understand what I'm saying?
I got to get past just the words.
Okay, let's get the
words. If it's just the words, that's the seven sons that give a message. I just say the words.
No, that's true.
So I got to watch out for the words. But then when I read John 1:12, Romans 8:11, Titus 3, there's a power that's part of the words that's coming into someone's life. So that's got to come through. Because when I think about the two words that jump out at me are power, salvation. Okay. Power, I see lightning visibly. I can see the power. If I have any kind of understanding of God, God makes the sun to rise, lightning. Okay, so there is a power of God, but this is towards me. Okay, mm-hmm. And then this is where the word salvation comes in. Okay, you're going to have to show me that I need to be saved. Because then once I see the need for the salvation, then I'm ready for the power of salvation. Mm. So if there's no need for salvation, then it's nice that power operates over there. That guy over there needs it. That drug addict needs it. That alcoholic needs it. That prisoner needs it. I don't see a personal need. So I think what Paul does is a great job here in Romans 1, especially Romans 3, Romans 4, a bit of Romans 2. He shows the need. He says, it's like, Nathan, you are the man. You have a need. I need. And because I have this need, that's where the shame comes in. But Paul says, you don't have to be ashamed because I know what this can do. This can sort out your issue. This is the cure. He gives you the cause. He gives you the problem. And then here is the medicine. The medicine, here is the cure, salvation. And the gospel, the power of the gospel is, if you could say it this way, the power of the gospel would be the needle that administers the solution to what's wrong with man, the sickness of man. Wow. Isaiah 1 verse 6, the whole head is sick. Mm. There's a hole in our heart. There's something missing, and the gospel fills that hole. The gospel fills the God-sized hole in my life. Mm. And many people, they don't know all the vocabulary. Mm-hmm. They may not be religious and they're listening to us today, but you can sense a hole inside your life. There's something unfulfilled that you've shoved everything into that. You've shoved hobbies, you've shoved relationships, you've shoved a career, you've shoved all these you've shoved all these things in this God-sized hole, and none of them stay, none of them stick, and you're still not full. It's like a Haggai chapter 1. You do all these things and your pockets are still empty. You work the job, you get the wife, you get the husband, you get the dog, you get the career, you have the kids, and there's something missing that only salvation can solve. And the power of the gospel is the ability for God to solve it.
That's amazing. Yeah. You said that, like that whole thing, like, when we look at Ecclesiastes, it says he has set eternity in men's hearts. It's like there is a hint of eternity in every human being regarding the created order. And when he sees the disorder, there may be that ping or pinge or whatever. Maybe that
light bulb.
Something. Something is. You said there's something there, and it's a real vacuum.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, the hint of eternity is a vacuum. I remember Richard Wurmbrand talking about this Hebrew word debar. He's because Richard Wurmbrand is a Jewish. Of Jewish descent, but he became a Lutheran pastor. He was jailed in Romania, prison for many years, buried underground in a solitary confinement, and came out of it as a great minister talking about martyrs and those kind of things. But he said the word is substance in the Hebrew language. If you have the word, you have the thing. And when God said, let there be light, there was light. And the light is not a thing, but it is a thing. It is something that we have a very hard time understanding. It's like it's like one of the crowns of creation, because it is everything. It is everything. It is both wave, it is particle. Scientists can't figure out how it is both of those things, but it is both of those things. But if you have that hole, and the power of the gospel is to take that hole and fill it with something.
Yes.
And the word, if we believe, like you said, it's more than just the word. It's the identity behind the word. Yes. It's the one who spoke the word gives the force of power to the words that he spoke.
Yes.
Ooh, could I say that again?
That's a great statement. You're right. It's like, because most, and that's true in many situations, that the one who speaks the power is the one that adds the power or the force behind the words. Like your mother says to you, go to the store. Well, I tell you to go to the store. There's not a lot of force behind that, but your mother says it. The full weight and influence of who she is as your mother is backing that statement. Yeah. It's empowering it. So imagine divine creator empowering you, speaking the gospel to you, right? That you receive by faith, and that faith, that gift of salvation, which goes into verse 17, puts us in a status, puts us in a position of righteousness, where we have the capacity to live the right life, right? Uh-huh. We have the power to do so. I mean, the power of the gospel is not to give me a life that I'm okay. The power of the gospel is not just that God is love. The power of the gospel is not just Jesus wants to be our friend. The power of the gospel is not that we just want to live right. The power of the gospel is transformative. It takes us from Colossians 1:13, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. It's a kingdom shift. It's transformative. It's a brand new thing. It's a brand new life. All those things might be fruits of that, but that's not why we have the power of salvation. The power of God actually is unto salvation, for complete transformation. And that's where you get beyond just the event. You get beyond just the status. You actually get into a new life, completely new. You don't have the same old life with a brand new status. You have a brand new status and a brand new life.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, when you said the thing about your mom, when you're saying that your mom tells you to go to the store, there's a force behind her command. It's like
a lot of force.
You know, well, the wisdom. When we're saying that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, I'm thinking like, okay, we started this thread of thought when you said, like, it's more than just saying something. Like you said, the seven sons of Sceva.
Yes.
We adjure you by the Jesus that Paul preaches, and they got beat up by it and left naked, you know, because they were exposed for not, like, they didn't have the fear of the Lord. It's like, the things go together. I'm thinking that we're coming to some sort of conclusion here, that the things go together, that if I fear the Lord, there's the beginning. I got to recognize that the Lord is the Lord. And then the message that he has sent, which we call the gospel, you know, you, the message can come to me and it can hit me, you know, and just bounce right off my heart. But if I'm really thinking about who is telling me mm-hmm. the truth about myself and mm-hmm. who is telling me the truth about how I can gain his righteousness unto salvation, mm-hmm. then I got to know, I got to at least allow for myself a little bit of respect for him, right? Mm-hmm. There's got that little bit of fear really is the key to the power of the gospel, mm-hmm. I think, turning yes. on the salvation. Do you believe? Do you believe in him? Mm-hmm. And do you believe in what he's saying about what he's done for you?
Absolutely. It's the revelation of three things: who God is, what God has done, and what God has said about me when I receive it. Three things. But there's two words in that little phrase that I want to park on. Maybe we end the program on this. It says the power of God unto salvation. Of God, meaning it's not my power, which in Romans 10 later in this book, the Jews, it was a stumbling block for them because they felt they had the power. It was theirs. It was theirs. And by the way, that's what a lot of Christianity is.
It is. A lot of religion. All religion is really that.
They removed the of God part out of it and it said power unto salvation, power unto deliverance. And you could be a born again believer and you could still live in the power of deliverance from a person. From the pastor, from people, from yourself. I'm going to do self-deliverance, right? But it says the power of God unto salvation. If it's any other power, I have a reason to be ashamed. If it's any other power, you should be ashamed. But if it's the power of God unto salvation, that is the same power that is not only able to save you, but to keep you and sustain you and guide you and lead you to live God's life now and in the future. Only because it's the power of God. It's the dunamis of God. Mm. It's not the dunamis of a strong man. It's not the dunamis of anything else. It's the power of God. And that's what changes people's lives. That's what makes the gospel the gospel. It's the power of God. Because in the gospel message is a description of the operation and intention of the power of God. The operation and intention of God himself. It's the power of God. That is that little preposition is huge in that verse. It's huge in that chapter. It's of God. I mean, that's what those who look for power are seeking. This is what Bar-Jesus tried to buy from Philip when he came in. He tried to buy that dunamis, that power of God unto salvation. He saw that power and he tried to buy it. Right? He said, can I offer you money for this? Because it's the only thing that changes people's hearts.
Yeah, of, that's those little words, they mean so much, of. Like you could say, it's the power with God for salvation, and then you're trying to figure out how to be with him, mm-hmm. but the thing is, it's not. It's like it's saying it's of him. It's his character, it's his essence mm-hmm. that you're seeking, not just we love the sense of his presence, but you know, the presence of God mm-hmm. is like, you know, but not just presence with God. It's subtle, mm-hmm. just like when we talk about Jesus being the way, the truth, the life, mm-hmm. that little word the means something. It means that there's nobody else. Nobody else has that authority to give us what we need, to take us to mm-hmm. God, to the Father.
Mm-hmm. Remember the girl, the python spirit? And she started speaking about these are the men that bring about the power.
Oh, that's right.
Salvation.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just came to me. Yes.
Paul got annoyed by it.
Why did he get annoyed? There's the huge question. Why did he get annoyed?
Yeah, I mean, she's just witnessing. Come on. She's helping your evangelistic program.
If you look at her message and what she says, hidden in her message is that prepositional distinction you just brought up. She doesn't say that. She doesn't say it the way that Paul says it in Romans. Let me say it that way. Gotta find it actually. I'm forgetting it. You know where it's at?
Let's see if I can find it here.
It's gone from my mind actually, but it's in, the thought is there.
Yeah, I understand that. It's in, read the book of Acts, you'll find it. But we know, she said that Paul was very much annoyed by the whole situation. And you can read that and you think like, why was he annoyed about that? But, and then she was a soothsayer of some sort.
Yeah, she was a divinator, yep.
Yeah.
She was being and used then when, demonically,
and
then, actually.
Yeah, and this created a riot, right? Yep. Created a riot, Paul. So. But that's but she did say it differently. That's right. We're trying to figure it out as you're watching it. If you're watching us. But yeah, but she did not recognize who was behind the power. She did not. She was not speaking in the authority of God, right? Is what you're trying to say?
Exactly what I'm saying. Yes, she was doing the same thing actually, and it's the subtlety of the way she. Here it is. I thought it was there. Okay, I can't find it right now. All right.
there we go. All right. Let's see. We're closing in on the. We're closing in on the closing here, but when we think about the authority of the person who is issuing the command that or who is issuing the word, the declaration is the thing that we were trying to say. Like you know, you can't just the gospel is more than just word. It is a substance. There is something to it. There is a power of the Holy Spirit that delivers us into salvation. We're going to be working on this all day, trying to find that, aren't we?
I can't let it go.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. I want to say 16, but I'm off. I think
this is you're seeing live and in person, just some sort of
thinking through it. That's what I'm doing.
Oh, it says Acts 16.
I said 16. Yep.
Yep. You got it. And she kept doing this for many days.
Yeah. There it is. 16. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Delivered. Thank you.
There we go. We got that. We fought our way through it. There we go. But
what does she say? These are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. See, notice the way she says that. Shows us the way, as in shows us the method, as in shows us how we can, what we have to do to get salvation, which is not the gospel. The gospel doesn't tell you what to do to get salvation, because the work of the gospel has already been done. And that was the turn of phrase that Paul said, you're not of God. And by the way, it's these little subtleties in the gospel that make the gospel not the gospel. And Paul talks about in Galatians, it's another gospel. At any rate, that's what I'm talking about. That's why it's important to know that it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone, Jew who's going to consider it a stumbling block, Gentile who's going to consider it foolishness. And at times you may feel like it's a stumbling block and you may feel like it's foolishness, but it's the power of God unto salvation for everyone.
That's awesome. Well, friends, we've had a good time in the Word here. Stephen, thanks for your comment there about the fear of the Lord. We aren't shaking in our boots, but we are respecting and honoring Him for who He is and what He did for us. The gospel. Amen. If you're listening to this, the gospel is that Christ came and gave His life for you. If you've never called upon His name to be saved, we invite you to do that. Do that. It's the greatest decision that you could make. And if you make that decision, please let us know that you've made it and that the Grace Hour show has had a hand in leading you to an understanding of the message of Christ and His good news that we can come unto Him and be saved. So for Pastor Rinaldo Brown, I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis. For Jehu, our engineer today on the Grace Hour show, we invite you to subscribe on YouTube, Apple, Google, Spotify. Do that, please. And we invite you to listen more about defining the gospel this week, all week on the Grace Hour show. Have a great Tuesday, everyone. Have a great week.